I'm going to go back a little bit. Well, Fazer, I saw some additional points I wanted to add that we really should have made last time. And then we'll go on to the new material. So last time we saw the Gemara Daf Ayin Dalet on the base, the Gemara says that how could you have a situation of Tofer where you're chayv for Shtei Tefiros? And the Gemara answered that you made a kasher. We showed them all bothered by the question. One second, if you made a kasher, you could be chayv mishum kosher. So what's the pshat? So we saw a number of answers to this, three answers in the Ritva. The third answer of the Ritva was that there's a difference between kosher and tofer. Kosher, almanas lahatir, is mutter or pater, but tofer, almanas lahatir, is chayat. So we're talking about a case where you did two tefiros and then you did a kosher, almanas lahatir. This is also the answer of Yom. And then we saw that this question is basically a debate between Rabbeinu Yoel and the Riva and the Hagos Mordechai. And Rabbeinu Yoel is the lenient view. He thinks, unlike this answer, that there's a heter both for kosher and tofer when it's Enu Shel Kayama. Now, what's very strange is that Rabbeinu Yoel brings a raya from Perek Lagadol. Not clear where. But it says over there, Rabbeinu Yoel Matir, Afilu B'Tfira, Ho'il V'lo Lav L'Skayim Avid, V'chein Aminan L'Kaman Perek Klal Gadol. This Mordechai is in the Perek Ametonin, but he brings a raya from Klal Gadol. So the Shaila is, what in the world is his raya from Klal Gadol? Because Adaraba, the Riva also brought a raya from Klal Gadol. Riva's raya was from Ayin Dalet Mabez. The Riva gave the answer of the Ravya. You see that there's a difference between kosher and tofer. So where in the world, so you don't have to, you could say, since there are other answers to the Ravya on the base, you don't have a raya mochrachas to the Riva from Klal Gadol, but where do you have a raya to Rabbeinu Yoel from Klal Gadol? So the core of the answer is that Rabbeinu Yoel brought a raya from the kasha of the Gemara, because the Gemara asked by Tofer Shtei Tefiros Bahalo Miskayim. So what do you see from there? That Tefira needs to be Miskayim. From the kasha of the Gemara, we see that just like there's a heter of kosher that's not Miskayim, so too there's a heter of Tofer Shtei Miskayim. Now the problem with this raya is l'chora it's not dome at all. Because when it comes to Tofer Shtei Tefiros, the Gemara asks it's in a Miskayim, but that's because it's going to unravel on its own. In other words, it's not like kosher. L'chora, when we're matir kosher, when it's not Miskayim, it's a case where even though the knot would hold, since it's a kesher, shein miskayim, it's mutter, butter. But here, all we could prove is that tefira that's going to unravel on its own, like shtei tefiros, is mutter, or at least potter. How could you prove that if you are tofer on the nas lahatir, that that's also mutter? So that was the question that I had on the Mordechai, on Rabbeinu Yoel. I saw subsequently that the Ginas of Radim asked this question. We'll see, it's quoted. The Ginas Bradim basically says Rabbeinu Yoel's raya is, like I said, from Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, but he thinks it doesn't make any sense because all you could prove from there is tefira that's going to unravel on its own is mutter. V'rayas Rabbeinu Yoel Tamua al kain halacha leser. So he's Ginas Bradim says since Rabbeinu Yoel's raya is lousy, we're going to pass kin l'chumra. So I saw that the Shevet Alevi, Chelek Dalet Simin Lamed has a very interesting tshuva on this. And he tries to be miyashev the raya of Rabbeinu Yoel, tries to figure out what the raya for Rabbeinu Yoel would be. And maybe we won't we won't get into it now, but he suggests that the raya is from a different Gemara in Paraklal Gadol. I will mention it very briefly, and maybe we'll get back to this a little later, but it's a really important point. We forgot at the beginning of this melacha to talk about where kosher was in the Mishkan. So where was it in the Mishkan? So this is a Gemara also on Ayin Da'alad Amud Beis. Rava said, Shekin Kosherin B'Yaseidos Olam. As we saw in last week's Parsha, there were pegs that were used in the construction of the Mishkan to hold up the curtains, and these pegs had Yaseidos, and the, like any time you pitch a tent, you know, you tie a rope to the peg. So Abaye says, Hahu, Kosha Manas Lahatir. Good. And then we give a different answer. We give a different answer. Now, then the Gemara discusses what the Gemara, it's sort of interesting actually, because L'chor, the Maskana of the Gemara, according to Rava, we learn both of them from the Tzadei Chila zone, Kosher and Matir. The Rashi on Kuf Yud Aleph on the base brings up the possibility that he mentions more the Havamin of the Gemara in terms of Kosher. I'm not sure why. What's relevant for us, sorry, my document's all closed when I was trying to find that.
If the marker is the Mishkan, so then clearly it wasn't put loyvam.
All right, so let's actually talk about that for a moment since you brought it up.
Rashi later on Kuf Yud Aleph, he doesn't bring that marker. He doesn't bring that example. He skips the first one.
So Rashi on Kuf Yud Aleph on the base, correct. He quotes Abaye's answer for King Orge Yerio Shenifska Lahanima, kosher, and he quotes Rava's answer for Matir. Now, there's no objection to Abaye's answer, so it's not really like a problem for Rashi, but it is interesting that he quotes Avamina. Now, Yoshua is bringing up a very important point, which maybe it's worth discussing for one moment, which is, so the Abaye assumes that the kshira in the construction of the Mishkan is considered kosher manas lahatir. Now, that's very interesting, and we're going to, I guess, maybe we'll get back to this in a minute, but since you brought it up, because there, presumably, the kshira was for an indefinite amount of time, right? Nobody knew when they were going to travel, right? As we read in last week's Parsha, you know, when the cloud would rise, then they would travel. And they could have been staying for quite a lot of time. And
I'm not denying that, but I'm just pointing out that when the gather of the Olam isn't really forever, it means it for an unknown amount of time, because they knew for a fact it wasn't going to be forever. They knew they were going to Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't forever. It wasn't actually the Olam. It was just for
an unknown amount of time. So, sorry, I didn't understand you. So what are you proving from there?
Just that, if that's the marker for Kesher, so then all to be Chayav Deraisa, if you learn that it's 3 years of the Olam,
kosher.
Pardon?
What's the makor for kosher?
The first makor, the ureos. If the tying it to the acetics. If that's the makor for kosher.
We Abaye.
Yeah, but not for that time. The rejection was not for that reason. The rejection was not because that's not the
item. Abaye hahu kosher manas lahatirhu. That was Abaye's kasha and Rava. Rava said, Shekin koshin v'yaseidos alalim. And Abaye rejects that. He says, no, that's kosher manas lahatir. And so Abaye gave a different Orge Yerigo Shenifsaka Yimma kosher.
So I understood. I can see now why that might not be correct. But I understood that was a different problem than the problem of not being. Meaning, it's, I understood it to mean that in Akhenami, that would be a good type of kshira, meaning the way it was formed was a item de kana, but it was amanas tahakshir, and therefore it wasn't considered a real kosher kshira shokayim. But I can see how it's really the same. The kuda now. So it's my mistake.
Okay. There's a Yerushalmi, actually, that sort of discusses this question, that it's a Yerushalmi by Bona, in Perek Zayin Halacha Beis in Yerushalmi. We'll probably talk about this more when we come to Bona. But the Yerushalmi asks, Ma binyan hayu b'mishkan? And the Gemara answers, because they would put up the Krashim and the Adanim. So the Gemara asks the Shaila, but that's Lefisha. So Rabbi Yossi says, since they were Chonim v'nosim al pi adibor, that's like it was Leolam. In other words, since basically Hashem said, you know, stay put until I tell you, and if I don't tell you, you're here forever, so then it has a din of le'olam. And then Rabbi Yossi Bar Bun says, no, that can't be, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maftiach to bring them into Eretz Yisrael, so it wasn't going to be le'olam, it's kefisha. Then we'll get back to that little question a little later. Anyway, and there's a similar discussion in Bavli, though not identical. One way or the other, you know what, let's we're already off track and behind schedule. So we're going to do this question a little later. For now, just worth noting that, for now, let's just note the Kasha on Rabbeinu Yoel. And if you want to take a look, at an answer, so look at that Shevet HaLevi, who argues for a different makor from Rabbeinu Yoel. He's not referring to this Gemara, our Gemara. He's referring to that Gemara at the earlier about where Kshira was in the Mishkan. That might be a makor for Shita. Fine. So, Ayin Shem and the Shevet HaLevi. So we brought up the question, do we paskin like Rabbeinu Yoel, again, who's Lahakel, or like the Riva, who's Machmir? Rabbeinu Yoel, again, this is a Tfira Machlokes. Rabbeinu Yoel says that Tfira Lizman or Tfira Manas Lahatir is mutter, and the Riva says it's mutter. So the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Shin Mem Siv Zion sounds like he's Machmir. Shulchan Aruch writes over there, Osam Shemehadkin Habegadim Saviv Zro Sehem Al Yedei Hachot Shemotchin Osa Mishadik. So they have some type of drawstring. Sounds like it's similar to a drawstring is with, I don't know, on their pants or on their arms or something like that, on their sleeves, I suppose, probably the end of their sleeves, instead of having a button, so they would have a drawstring, and they tighten it, and that keeps it closed. Also lemotcho, so you can't tighten that drawstring. Elam ken yav nekavim rechavim ktsas unesukanim betfira beikul. And it's a big shiloh over there. It's a little shver, and we're not going to do it now because there's not a tzura tefira there at all. The Achronim discussed that. But l'chayra, you see over there, that's asher al tofer, even though it's short-term tofer. So it sounds like the Shulchan Aruch is machmir, like the Riva. There's a tshuva from the Or LeZion, who argues that the Mechaber is actually Mako. If you want it, Or LeZion Chelek Beis Perek Chav Tes, it's talking about the question of diapers on Shabbos. And he says, even though the Mechaber does not bring down the kula of Rabbeinu Yoel, he still holds of it, which is Chiddush. It's not obvious, especially because Yilchori have arrived from Shin Mem Siv Zayin that he's Machmir. But the Or LeZion thinks that based off of the Beis Yosef, it sounds like the Mechaber is actually Meiko. Alamai says, we saw last time the Ramah is Meiko, but he says Ein Lahata Lahaka Bifnei Amaretz. The Pashtus meek, that means he is Meiko Mekaradin, that we saw Achronim who are Machmir. Another point is Lechori, there's no difference between Tofer and Korea. In other words, just like the Ramah's Meiko by Tofer, by Korea, he should also be Meiko by Tofer. And that point is made explicitly by the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa, and he brings a proof, because the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe is Mitzayin Simon Shin Mem when he talks about it here in Simon Shin Yud Zayin. So that sounds like we equate Tofu and Korea, which is certainly what you would intuitively think.
Very good, you need to equate them? In what sense?
In other words, the Ramah writes in Simon Shin Yud Zayin, Sif Gimel, that Shalom Bifnei HaMaharet, you could be Mekel for Korea, like Rabbeinu Yoel. So presumably, he would also be Mekel for Tofer, that short-term Tofer, right?
Right.
And that there's evidence to that from the Dharke Moksha that that sends you to that place. So that's just noting the jump I'm making, but it seems like it's a warranted jump. So as we mentioned last time, this is probably the place where everybody talks about this question the most, is with respect to diapers. Why is diapers a shaila? So when you close the diapers, you're gluing the tab to the other piece of the diaper. You're not actually using glue, you're using tape, depending on how the diaper is made. But you're sealing it. And the Rambam writes, as we talked about last time, Madbik Niyaros is Aser Alts Tofer. So is, should this be mutter or not? So according to Rabbi Yoel, it's Pashat. Why? Because diapers are short term, they're the shortest short term, they're less than 24 hours. According to Rabbi Yoel, there's nothing to talk about. But as we've seen, it's not so Pashat to rely on Rabbeinu Yoel. Is there any other basis? Moreover, even Rabbeinu Yoel, the Beis Yosef and the Rama say you could only be Megel Shalom Bifnei Amharetz. So even if you think it's Mutter Mikra Adin to put on diapers, maybe it would be also to put on a diaper Bifnei Amharetz. Now I saw that the Or LeZion, I mentioned this last time, says that, well, here everybody would be matir. He writes in that tshuva that I just quoted, Afal Pisha Beis Yosef Kasa Shan She'en Lahatir Bifnei Amaretz Mikol Makom Kan She'en Adavar Nira Ketfira Yesh Lahatir B'chol Ofer Mishrom She'am Haaretz Lo Yavin Mizeh Lahakel B'tfira Shel Kayama. And Am Haaretz will not extrapolate from the diaper to Tfira Shel Kayama. Now, I mentioned last time, I don't think that's so obvious. It's true that Am Haaretz won't jump from the diaper to Tfira, but he might jump from the diaper to permanent stickers, permanent glue, right? Let's imagine somebody goes ahead and says, oh, I'm allowed to use permanent stickers on Shabbos because you're allowed to use a diaper, which is a temporary sticker. Why should it be different? But nevertheless, the Or LeZion says, no, that nobody's going to jump from the permissibility of putting on a diaper to long-term tofer / gluing. So the most obvious tzad l'hakel for diapers is Rabbeinu Yoel. But because, as we know, it's not so pasha to follow Rabbeinu Yoel, are there any other tzaddim to be makel for diapers? So another tzad to be makel is Rav Moshe. Remember, Rav Moshe held that the definition of tfira is the unification of two different things, and therefore diapers, where there's no unification whatsoever, is not b'chal tfira. So even if you pass them like the Riva, diapers would be mutter. Is
what
there...
constitutes a unification?
I'm sorry?
The definition of a unification, meaning why is this less of a unification?
Nobody thinks that it becomes a single unit. It doesn't when you go ahead and you glue two pieces of paper together, like you glue the cloth together to make a safer Torah, there you glue it and you sew it, but let's even say you just glued it, so it's been unified to create a single entity. When you bind a book, right, so every book has it has the binding, it's glued in to the binding. It's not like two pieces anymore. It's one piece. It's a book.
Stickers are much like trying to have motion.
No. Stickers would be usher. Because when I go ahead and I have a sticker, my kids take stickers, they have a sheet of stickers, and they put them on a paper. They put the sun, and they put clouds, and they put trees, and dogs, and cats. That's not meant to come on or off. That has unified to become a single piece of paper with a scenery of a dog and a cat and a cow and a sun. So in that case, it would be a unification. See, Yoni is clapping for the sticker picture she just made. So we can't hear you anyway, don't worry. So Gretchen Moshe's mutter. Is there any other tzad l'hakel? We said last time Rav Moshe's shitas is mechudash. Not everybody agrees to it. So remember, there were a number of great poskim, including the Magen Avraham, perhaps, who followed the Karban Nisanel, who were machmir by safety pins, and seemed to reject Rav Moshe's position. So another kula maybe, is based off of a very interesting comment of the Magen Avraham. It's in Shin Mem Sifkat Yud Ches. It's also quoted by the Mishnah Brura over there, Sifkat Mem Hey. They say an interesting thing. Let's imagine that you have pages that were glued together by wax or some other thing. They were accidentally glued together. They were putting those paint, you know, they were binding the book, and a little bit of glue got between the pages. A lot of times you have this with new books. You know, some of the pages are stuck together. Now, they're just stuck together by glue. They're not actually, you're not cutting them for the first time. They're just got stuck together by glue. Or your bench or some wax strips on it, and the pages get stuck together. I know. So what's the halacha in that case? Could you rip open the bencher or the book, even though you're going to be separating the pages that have been accidentally glued together? So the Magen Avraham says it's mutter, the Mishnah Berurah says it's mutter. And he gives two reasons. But his main reason is because it was a temporary gluing. In other words, you know, when they were glued together, it was meant to be open. The sefer was meant to be used. And then he adds in a second svara, which is that it only got glued. It was not some elof. You didn't intentionally do it. But it sounds like he's willing to accept the first reason, which is that this was not meant to be long-lasting. It's not nasa lakiyum. And if that's true, so then we have to ask a question. Why is he being willing to be made them? So probably the way I assumed is, you see, maybe it sounds like he's really being so same like Rebbe Yellow. Like we said in the past, just as the Ramah passed, it's like Rebbe Yellow. I saw that Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn in the Shabbos home, it's on page 74, Ara 17, he says that maybe the only machlokas between Rabbeinu Yoel and Riva is by the Av of Tofer. But when it comes to gluing, which is a tolda, so then everybody agrees that it's mutter if it's short term. And therefore everybody would agree, even Riva would be matir by this.
The Magen Avraham is matir by the book.
Right, that's what he says. That's why it's pashut to be matir by the book. The Magen Avraham wasn't taking a stand in the book on the debate between Rabbeinu Yoel and Riva. And again, he's, even though he also is the svara of Nasim Eilab, that wasn't his main svara. So that's an interesting chiddush. It's not so clear why that would be. But I assume the logic of this position would be along the lines of, you know, a svara that we've said on a number of occasions, which is to be usher, it has to be domeh to the av, either in the pe'ula or the tachlis. And if it's not domeh in either the pe'ula or the tachlis, then it's nothing. So gluing two pages together is domeh to the av in the tachlis, because you've joined, merged, unified two different things by medium. But it's very different in the pe'ula. There's no string. So it's aser, it's even chayiv. If you go ahead and you sew short term, you do tfira lizman, so that's not doma at all in the tachlis, because the tachlis is to merge two things. But it is doma in the pe'ula, and therefore it'll still be aser. Maybe it's aser b'drabanan, maybe d'raisa. But if it's neither, it's not dome in the tachlis because it's short term, 1 second, and it's not dome in the pe'ula because it's glue and not sewing, so then it's nothing, it's mutter, and therefore everybody agrees. Asking, I don't know, can't use my
computer. Why not your computer?
Because I share 130, okay?
Never ask you. Because I want to see other people.
I understand, sorry.
But then, according to Rebbe's Cheshbon, then according to the Ritva, it should be a Malacha Shein Tzircha LeGufa, the Gemara's example of Tofer with the kosher. That's a big, tremendous ukimta. Pe'ula and Totsar are all good and well if we pass Malacha Shein Tzircha LeGufa's Chayiv, but Okay. This is a Rishon Dikasvara. You can't have a Shabbos home coming in a Rishon Dikasvara.
I hear what you're saying. It's a Chiddush.
This doesn't fit into the. There's a massive jump. It doesn't fit into the. You wouldn't have known this.
I agree. I thought the whole thing was a Chiddush. I agree. The much easier way.
We have to say something like that for the Magen Avraham and Rav Moshe, because otherwise they're just against the Ramah.
Why?
Because the Magen Avraham's against the Ramah if he's willing to accept Rabbeinu Yoel Lagamre. So,
you could say other
stuff. What is his smart to argue against the Ramah, unless he is arguing against the Ramah? But if he's.
Ramah Bikra Din is Matir, that's the Pashtas. And second of all, and over here, you could say the type of smart that we said before. There's less concern that it's going to lead to a Isser D'Oraisa, so you don't have to be Megal. You don't have to be machmir shalobeth ne'em ha'aretz. And moreover here, there's a second svara to be makel, like we said, which is that the whole tefira in the first place is by accident. Anyway, my inclination is like Dani. It's a very big chiddush, but I just thought it was an interesting theory. Something.
So by diapers, it's not by accident?
You're correct. Diapers, we would need one of the other kulas, either or Rabbeinu Yoel. Now, there are some other svaros that the post can bring for diapers. If you want to take a look, Rishmir Shabbos Kilchasa in the Chela Gimel, Perk Lamed Hei, Ha'aras Samach Gimel, has some other svaros why diapers are not bechla.
What's Chela Gimel?
I don't have the new, the old version of the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa has two regular chalakim, and a third chelek, which is hosafos, that he made afterwards. Those hosafos have been incorporated into the new printing, but there are many. If you have the old version, that's where they are. Okay, so I assume it's incorporated into the new version. Fine. Now, just one point to point out when it comes to the diapers. It's an important question. Let me show you. Just hold on a second. We'll do a visual aid.
Aaron, can you give us some muktzaharos for the in the meanwhile?
I don't understand. Do you Lamaisa?
Yes, sir, I'm bad.
Magen Avraham is holding like Rabbeinu Yoel.
Aaron, we haven't learned
that's not a heter.
Let's all talk over each other.
The record of the Yerushalmi is talking about kosher.
We are recording. It's not, you don't need
to. Yerushalmi Befer is talking about kosher. It's not talking about bona. I don't know where you said that. Is there a way to do a group chat here? I'll post the Yerushalmi.
Okay. So if you look over here, I have a diaper. And sometimes for diapers, now we only have to take a very careful look. When you open them, you'll see that they're sort of weakly connected up here. You hear, listen carefully. You heard that? And also over here. There. So this connection over here is connected and then sort of opened. So there's a question whether that's okay on Shabbos. So the Pashtus is that is actually an example of this Pula that we just mentioned from the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah, because it's not supposed to be closed or sealed over there, but sometimes in the packing they get sealed and closed. Sometimes it's not actually closed at all, but even if it is,
it's advantageous though, right? Because it helps when they fold it initially, before they put it into the packaging. Slight adhesion
It's perfectly fine to fold it without that. I think it might happen because everything is so hot. They sort of glue it together. I don't know. You have to look into the Metzius a little more. Many poskim are makel based off of that reason. In other words, even if they are a little bit glued together on the top, it's a short term tefira. So it would be mutter anyway for Rabbeinu Yoel. And second of all, we might even be able to call it an accidental Tvira. Now,
are you saying it's better before Shabbos to open all the diapers and use those?
There are some that are machmir, right? Not going to say it's not better, but I think that my understanding is that many poskim are matir because certainly, according to Rabbeinu Yoel, it would be matir. Now, this is different than any case where and the same thing, by the way, would apply for opening the tabs the first time. If you take a look here again, right? So the first time I open these tabs, this is glued. They actually don't use adhesive anymore for many of the brands. They use, like, it's almost like Velcro. We could talk about whether that makes a difference or not. But the cheaper brands are still adhesive, which is what we usually use. So over here, the first time I'm opening this, so that is also an example of Korea, right? So again, according to Rabbeinu Yoel, it's Pashut that this Korea would be Mutter. Why? Because this was made for short term. Now, we'll talk about the sheer short term or not. It might have been 2 months since this was manufactured in the diaper company. Diaper factory. It might have also been 2 days. They just made it as long as is necessary to get to the customer so they could do it. So that's going to be mutter pashtus, according to Rabbeinu Yoel. There are those that are machmir on that shaila as well. And therefore, what they do is before Shabbos, if they want to avoid both shailas, before Shabbos, they take all the diapers that they think they're going to use for Shabbos. Number one is they open it up over here. Number two is they open it up over here. And there are those that are machmir, but that most people are mekel, based off of Rabbeinu Yoel, and with respect to the thing on top, that it's sort of accidental, maybe even better. Now,
Rebbe?
I want to stress just one more point, that this is different than any time when you are completing an act by ripping. Example of that would be garbage bags that are next to each, that are still connected to each other and only being unconnected for the first time. Or some brands of tissues where all the tissues in a box are connected. And it's not the pshat that the tissues were all separate entities and then they connected them temporarily and then you unconnect them, but rather they were never unconnected. The tissues or the roll of garbage bags were all made connected mitchila in the factory, and then they partially separate them. And then when you take out the tissues, you're fully separating. Or when you take out the garbage bag and you separate it from the garbage bag that was previously connected, so then you're separating. This is a problem. This is definitely a problem. Like the Mishnah Berurah says, if you have a sefer where two pages were not, never separated in the first place. Let's imagine they were folded over, and for the first time you're separating the two pages into one. That's a big problem. Mishnah Berurah says that's an Isser D'oraisa. So you have to be careful. That's different than this Shaila, because in the case of, again, let's take the diaper bag, diaper tabs again. Here in the factory, in the Pampers factory, they made this, it was open, and then they closed it, and they closed it for temporary use. So it's no problem, according to Rabbeinu Yoel at the very least. Whereas in the case of the tissues that are connected, or the garbage bags that are connected, then for the very first time, you are disconnecting them. You are making the bag. It's not like they made them separately, glued them together, and then you're separating, like in the case of the diapers, but you're actually forming them for the first time. And therefore, this is a real problem. Again, the same thing for the top tabs over here. It's not like they made the diaper this way and for the first time you're opening it. Rather, they made it open And then there's sort of a heat seal on the top, which took place when they were folding them, packaging them. And then you're undoing it. So that's much less of an issue. So when it comes to things like tissues or those garbage bags or the like, you should make sure to buy the brands of tissues where the tissues aren't connected to each other.
Or next is Mutter.
Garbage bags where they're not connected to each other. Many brands are okay. Kleenex makes both types, actually. I don't know if they still do, but when I checked a while back, the small boxes of Kleenex, which are like the square, taller ones, are connected, but the bigger boxes of Kleenex, where the tissues lay flat, aren't connected. So check your brand of tissues and garbage bags before Shabbos, just to make sure that they're not connected. If they are, let's say, make sure to separate a bunch before Shabbat. Okay.
Rebbe?
Yes.
When Rebbe was mentioning that Rabbeinu Yoel might be mekil about the diapers, wouldn't the amanas lahatir, wouldn't it be insufficient the fact that the diaper is simply omed, to be separated? Like, even when, like, the Magen Avraham, let's say, quotes the Yam Shel Shlomo about Asui Lahatiro, he's still machmir within the shear of, like, let's say, 7 days.
Okay, good question. We're going to get to that, but the basic answer is, very spoken right. Well, let's assume that, obviously, well, let's say it differently. Yoni's pointing out that even if we follow Rabbeinu Yoel, so kosher is, tofer is not going to be more makel than kosher. It will be as makel as kosher. And when it comes to kosher, l'maisa we're machmir, that anything more than either 24 hours or 7 days is l'chol apachos and nisud rabbanan. And this diaper, certainly, almost certainly, it's been more than 7 days since this was manufactured in the Pampers factory. So why am I saying it should be mutter according to Rabbeinu Yoel? That's Yoni's question, right? And there are those that are machmir for that reason. Yoni is not necessarily wrong. You can make the following argument, though. And we're going to have a chance to see this argument a little later. We're going to get there. But the argument is that it is not the case that Mr. Pamper Dafka wanted this tfira or kshira to last more than 7 days. He just wanted it to last until the customer gets it and uses it. But it's certainly never going to be kayama. It's never going to be kayama. And it could even be less than 7 days. It's not like he has an inyan for it to stay 7 days. He just needs it till the customer gets it. That could be 5 days, and it could be 55 days. And therefore, there are many posts that are mounted here. This is based off of the Machlokas Rishonim, cited in the Beis Yosef. The Taz and the Alter Rebbe seem to be makel on the Shiloh. There's a Mishnah Berurah, it sounds like. It doesn't quote that Kula. We're going to have a chance to get there, but you're correct, Yoni, in raising your question. And we'll
be
more.
But meaning, wouldn't the? I don't know what Taz is referring to, but like the way that Mr. Brewer quotes the Taz by kosher, at least he says you need to follow the regilus. Meaning, even
Taz is makel.
Like what Rebbe said sounds like the Magen Avraham, the way he quotes the Yom Shel Shlomo, but like that he's saying that it doesn't really matter. If it's Sius, what's going to end up happening as much as the fact that the way it was originally made was such that it could have, like, it's also Lahatir irrelevant of exactly when that happens.
Look at Shin Yad Zayin Gimel. That's the exact same case for a tongue.
Okay, so let's get there. Yoni, your question is a good question, and let's, we're getting ahead of ourselves. So, Bezer Hashem, we're going to get there with respect to kosher, and then that same spark can be applied to tofer.
I apologize for tying us up.
Ah, okay. Excellent. Fine. The We mentioned also last time the Reims chiluk between the single knot and a double knot. The Reim is matir, again explaining the Gemara Ein Dalet Amud Beis because it's a single knot. We talked about what the reason for the Reim is. I looked it up, it's actually a little clear inside. It's worthwhile noting that the Marach or Zeruah, which is in Siman Reish Tesvav, it's an interesting piece, is medayik from the fact that the Reim doesn't give the answer of kosher nas lahatir, which he thinks is a much simpler answer, that shows that he rejects it. His lashon is v'ani maven lamalom namin kigon shetzarch lahatir kiyum hakesher v'atvira shemishum kesher lo yischayev and mishum tvira yischayev. Why don't we just give that answer of the ravia? Ela shema mina degam mishum tvira lo yischayev ki agavna. Must be that he holds like Rabbeinu Yoel. So if we're looking for more Rishonim to support Rabbeinu Yoel, which is nice, so the Or Zeruah, Marach Or Zeruah is Medayik that the Reim holds like that as well. So now I want to turn to, that was just a little bit of leftovers from last time, and talk a little more about rope making very briefly, which we also introduced last time. So the Rambam, as we know, per Yod Halacha Ches, writes that Posel Chavalim is Chayav Mishum Kosher. What's the Makor for this Rambam? So if you look at the Nosei Kalim, they don't bring down any Makor. There's no Makor, certainly no Makor in the Bavli. Now it's very hard to imagine the Rambam would have made this din up at the same time. It's like a funny halacha to make up. It's hard to know where did the Rambam get it from. Last time we explained two Havanos in the Rambam, two basic Havanos. One shot is you see that the Rambam doesn't require Kesher, in other words, it's a rejection of the Ireim. The other possibility is to say, no, this is equivalent to a Kesher. But one way or the other, we need to figure out where in the world did the Rambam get this from. So another question that we raised last time is, could you be Medayik that the Ramban and other Rishonim disagree? Why? Because the Ramban writes, answering the Gemara Ein Dalet Amud Beis, that we're talking about a case where you twisted the strings, you were tofer shtei tviros, and then you twisted them together, your shazran, you twisted them together. According to the Ramban, that doesn't solve the problem because it's still kesher, you're still behind mishum kosher. The Ramban is saying you're not behind mishum kosher when you twist them. So that's a raya that he doesn't hold of the Rambam. That is the raya, an important raya, potential raya, that other Rishonim like the Rambam doesn't hold the Rambam. L'chora though, that question, can you prove from the Ramban against the Rambam, would be totally the reason for the Rambam. If you say the reason for the Rambam is because Asiyas HaChevel is considered a kasher, at least if it sticks together. So this would also be kosher. But if you hold that the Svar of the Rambam is that you don't need a kasher, so maybe that would only be in the case of making rope. Whereas here, where you're doing shazira, you're doing like a twist tie in order to keep it together, maybe not. So unclear whether the Ramban, we know the Ramban would be,
what's the difference? It's just around making ropes.
One second. We know the Ramban would be matir liquid. The question is, would the Ramban do it? Well, the logic is that when you do the twist tie, you're not making a rope in any sense of the word. So the question is, what's the mechayev of making rope for the Ramban? If the mechayev of making a rope, and depending on how you answer that question, you could figure out what the Rambam would say about twist ties. Again, the Ramban is definitely matir twist ties. That's pasha, because that's the Ramban said. Ramban says that twist ties are not. What does Rambam say about twist ties? Do we say that twist ties are like rope, in which case the Rambam would aser twist ties? We know. The Rambam aser is making rope. When you just twist something to hold it together in place of a kasher, then that would not be aser for the Rambam.
It's too basic, though.
So if you think the gather of rope making for the Rambam is Osir, because the rope is a kasher. So this too is a kasher, and it's certainly going to be Osir for the Rambam. In other words, if you think Rambam holds that you need a kasher, the rope is a kasher, then I think twist points probably.
You're just making a circle.
It might be mutter because it's mutter because not bonus, but sir, at least potter because it's not. But fundamentally, I guess it would be much because it's not only listed temporarily, right? So if you think that the pshat is that the Rambam is only a chayv when you make a robe, so here you're not making, and it's not a knot, but yeah, the truth is, I say a little differently. L'chayra, the Rambam anyway would be much more than chayv, right? Because even the way we make twist eyes, anyone who doesn't twist eyes, right? Doing it short term. Remember, there's no medium term for the Rambam anyway. So it's not permanent and it's not homeless. So the Rambam for sure would be Matir, a twist tie. The only Claire, the only Tzad, and the Ramban is surely Matir twist ties, right? Because the Ramban says, you need a kasher, there's no kasher here. The only Tzad to be Masmir for twist is to say, the Rambam, the Lomi Taine, say that Rambam is right that a twist tie is usher, but since we Ashkenazim at least are mafmir for shitas Rashi, and a medium term knot is usher, even if it's not in lachas kognos, and a twist tie, if it's a medium term twist tie, let's say more than 7 days, would be usher lefi Rashi b'dasa Rambam. So I think basically there's a number of studded to be make of for twist ties. Stud number one is maybe the Ramban's right. Even if the Ramban is wrong, then Ramban is wrong. Stud number two is Lamaikas of the Ramban would be Matir, right? It's only a shy of the Dachas Rashi / Ramah. In Tinsalomar, as well, typically it's going to be less than 7 days, and even if it's going to be more than 24 hours. So the only, and Mikradim, again, we'll see the Mishnah Berurah thing, ultimately, I think that's less than 7 days. According to many, even if it's suffix 7 days, many Rishonim is going to be mutter. The only time you really need to be machmir about this is if you do a twist tie, vaday more than 7 days, which is pretty rare. Right? And even then, you could make the case that twist ties are nothing like a Asiyas Chavalim, because you're not making rope. You're just twisting it together to stay close. So there's a lot of arguments to be made.
What's that svar, Rabbi? What's the svar in the Chavalim?
You're not making a rope.
So what? Who says the Lafay is making a rope?
It's a little dinky thing, and you have a lot of twisting to be not there.
If you understand the Pshat Rambam is twisting, is Hainu Kesher.
Right.
Kesher. But if you understand that Malacha for the Rambam isn't that twisting is making a Kesher, but that unifying strands in a rope is Domet Alechlis Kosher despite the lack of Kesher, it's not obvious why a twist tie accomplishes that.
It's the same thing. It's Shazir. You're binding thread to one unit. Not that it's temporary or smaller. So temporary is a little more difficult, but that's the thing where you're putting
the Maybe it's for. Only to make a Chavah. Not if you
Why? What might be Chavah Shazira? They're both twisting individual fibers to make a larger fiber. I didn't see as far as the phallic. Like, other than the fact that one's more temporary or smaller.
Your goal is not to make a larger fiber. Your goal is just to keep it together. This is a replacement for a knot that's not a knot. In other words, the gather of the malacha making for the Rambam is exactly as you put it, taking small fibers to make a larger fiber. That's not what you're doing over here. Here, you're replacing a knot with a knot. And that's the tzad. Now, I agree with you, Yoshua, it's not a pashut svar, but it's also not a pashut svar to say the other way.
Lamaisa,
the recommended practice is to be mafmir, and it's very easy to be mafmir, because what you do is instead of twisting it together, you just take the twist tie and wrap it around in a circle, and that usually does the trick if you're just like trying to keep your challah bag covered closed. But the velt that's made go, certainly yesh lam on the lisma. There's this very strong svara to be makel. Now, I want to add one interesting raya that I thought of this for this question, which is, we were asking before, what in the world is the raya for the Rambam, the makor for the Rambam? The Rambam, it's very schwer to say that he has a din without a makor, especially like this. So it's very interesting, because the Yushalmi is explicitly against the Rambam. Yushalmi, Perek Zayin, Halacha Beis, asks, why is Posach HaMamon also? And the Yushalmi answers, not because of Mosher, it's because of Tava, it's because of spinning wool. In other words, just like when you spin wool, you make string, that's Halacha. Okay? I told you, it's Tava, so we just did it. Spinning wool is wheat. And the Yushalmi says that rope making is also a violation of Tava. So you have them before Yushalmi against the Rambam. So why in the world didn't the Rambam, you know, if the Rambam wanted a malacha for rope making, why did he abandon the Yushalmi for his own mahalik? So perhaps the answer is what the Or Zeruah already points out. The Or Zeruah, it's at the end of Siman Samach Gimel, says that the Bavli is clearly against the Yushalmi. Why? Because the Bavli says that Godelas is not chayav mishum tviya. The Gemara says it's chayav mishum bona. If you make a braid on a person, right, like the pasuk says of Aichava, that if you make braids, so that is bona. Right? This fascinating application of bona. We'll have to talk about that when we do bona. But the Bavli didn't say it's because of tava. So therefore, the Bavli disagrees with you, Yushalmi. So the Rambam of Paschim, like the Bavli, said that making a braid is chayav mishum bona. So now he was stuck. Why in the world is making ropes usher? It's pasha, but making ropes is chayav. We can't be mechayav at mishon tav anymore. Now, why isn't it bona though? Right? So, right, I would have said, you know, when you make a braid, it's the same thing as making a rope, right? So, why didn't the Rambam say that rope making is bona? So the Or Sameach on this Rambam says, he couldn't have been bona because you can't be mechayev for kosher in the case of making braids because it's mechubar. So the hair is still mechubar to the source. How does he know? He brings a raya from Sukkah, Yud Gimel and Aleph, by making an eged. But an eged, while attached to the tree, so over there, it couldn't have been kosher. So memela, it had to be bona. But over here, where it could be kosher, it is kosher. It's very similar to that Yushalmi that we discussed before from that Asher Weiss likes. That it's almost like the Mahalik of the Or Sameach and the Rambam is that we know certain things are asur, and we just need to try to figure out which melacha fits into. So rope making is surely asur. The Yushalmi says it's tava. The Bavli can't say it's tava because the fact that it's mechayev pokases for braiding for bona, and therefore braiding can't be kosher, so it has to be bona. And this could be kosher, so it's not bona. Anyway, that's the closest thing that I could find to a makor for the Rambam. Let's now go to the main thing. These were just a little bit of leftovers from last time. The main thing we're going to talk about today, which is, what is a kasher shel kayam? So, it's clear from the Gemara at the beginning of Reish Elul Koshrin that there are certain ksharim that are asur midraisa, there are certain ksharim that are asur midrabanan, and there are certain ksharim that are even mutar lechatchila. And what's the difference between them? So, the Gemara gives lots and lots of examples. But what isn't so clear from the Gemara is the rules that define these examples. So, according to Rashi, the basic principle is the duration that it's going to last. If it's going to be a kesher shel kayama, which Rashi says is liolam, then it's chayev. There's some type of medium term knot, we'll call it a kesher beinuni, that's also midrabanan, that needs to be defined. And anything short of that is mutter. Now, first let's talk about what's a kesher shel kayama. So Rashi says L'olam. So the Pashto says that means L'olam is L'olam. You're going to tie it to last forever. However, we'll see, the Beis Yosef, among others, takes for granted that L'olam doesn't mean L'olam. So how does he know? Mechatesi, that L'olam doesn't mean L'olam. Maybe one possibility is we know that Rabbi Yehuda is machayev for making an amiva. Rabbi Yehuda also presumably, though, requires that it be a kasher shel kayama, so it have to be an amiva shel kayama. Now, typically, maybe a necktie for very certain people is different, but typically, any time a person ever makes an amiva, the reason why you make an amiva is because you want to untie it, right? Nobody would make, if it's going to be l'olam, literally l'olam, something that's going to last forever, not going to bother making an amiva. You'll make a kesher. Anivas are harder to make, and they're weaker. So if you wanted it to be really l'olam, you would never make an amiva. And yet, we know that at least according to Yehuda, your chayav, if it's an amiva, shel kayama. So that shows me that that kayama can't really mean forever.
Maybe he just wants it to be adjustable.
So as I said, I left this aside the example of the necktie. You can make adjustable ksharim also, by the way. Like, for those of you who went to Boy Scouts, you would know that that you can make adjustable ksharim. You don't need an amiva for that. In fact, it's much easier than a kesher. So an amiva typically will always be something that you want to untie. And the fact that you can have an amiva shel kayama shows us the olam doesn't mean crap. So what does olam mean? So we have really two options. One option is the Beis Yosef. And the Beis Yosef says, well, there must be some time. All right, you're making everybody laugh, Yosef. So I think it's better. Really, he's only making Yosef, Yoni laugh, but anyway. I see your hand. Just 1 second. Let me just make one more point, Dani. So what then does it mean if L'olam isn't literally L'olam, so what would it mean? So you have two options. The first option is the Beis Yosef, that there's going to be some period of time. The Beis Yosef figures out what the time might be from the various examples that Rashi gives, basically a kesher beinoni. Now the problem is Rashi always gives a range, but the longest that he gives for the possibility of the kesher beinoni is a month. So anything that's more than a month will be l'olam. That's one possibility that the Beis Yosef considers. We'll get to the details in a moment, but basically what he's saying is kayama means long term. I'm going to put a number on long term. Let's say 30 days. But you could make up a different number. You could say 6 months, or a year, or 5 years, or a yovel. I don't know. Whatever your time is, we're going to look for a time and say that's l'olam. The second option, which is the Taz. Taz says, well, doesn't mean l'olam, l'olam, but l'olam means indefinite. Meaning to say that if I have no plans to untie this, I'm not planning to keep it forever necessarily, but I don't have plans to untie it. I might untie it after 35 days, and I might untie it after 6 months. But if I have no, if it's indefinite, if it's a knot that's indefinite, so that would be kesher shel kayama. Now, what's sort of interesting is, by the way, that this brings us back to that Gemara we mentioned, which looked for the source of kesher in the Mishkan, and it assumed that the knots that were tied to the tent pegs was a kosher manas lahatir. Now, that raises the question, well, how long would those have been? Yeah, we know sometimes the masos were shorter, sometimes they were very long, sometimes they were multiple years, they were staying in one place. But at least the way Yushalmi concludes, though this is a debate Yushalmi, is that they knew that they were never going to be the only one, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised them to go into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, the Gemara is saying, the Gemara asks at least, Rav and Abaye debate this, but that's not a kasher li'olam. It could be that's actually what they're debating. It could be that the debate between Rav and Abaye is the debate in Yerushalmi, whether we look at that as indefinite because they had to keep them the Mishkan erect until Hashem told them to leave, so it would be indefinite, so it would be li'olam. Or no, do we say that since Hashem promised them that they were going to Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't li'olam. Anyway, those are the two perspectives on, there are three ways you could read li'olam, I guess. Number one is to say li'olam means literally li'olam, forever and ever and ever. Anything short of that is not chayv according to Rashi. I don't know of anyone that takes that approach. The other two possibilities are the Taz and the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef says li'olam means a long period of time, and we're going to have to try to find a shear, probably 30 days. And the second possibility is the Taz, that li'olam means indefinite. I don't know. I don't have any plans to untie this, though I don't necessarily plan to leave it there forever. Even if I'm planning to, I know I'm never going to leave it forever. At some point, I'm going to get around to untying it, but I have no plans to untie it. It's going to be tied indefinitely. That's li'olam, as opposed to giving a shear. That's the view of the Beis Yosef. Now, one of the big rayas that the Taz brings for himself, that it can't be like the Beis Yosef says, is mechatesi, to make up a shear. In other words, if you learn like the Beis Yosef, that there is a specific amount of time, whatever it is, 30 days. So mechatesi, like mi gila lo raza, it's not like a shear. Right? It's random. 30 days is random. It's arbitrary. Therefore, the Taz's mahalef of indefinite makes a lot more sense. That's what the Taz says. And it is an approach, I think, that's much more intuitive. Okay, Don, you had a question?
No, good.
Okay. Let me sort of outline what I want to address with you. We'll see how much we get done today. But there are really three questions, I think, that we could think about over here. Now, first of all, I would point out that before we even get to the three questions, it's very interesting that the Gemara gives tons and tons of examples, right? The reason why there's so much confusion here and so much machlokas is because the Gemara doesn't give very many hagdaros. Instead, it just gives lots and lots of examples. So what's the pshat in all these examples? Like, why do we need so many examples? And if you learn, like the Rambam, actually, which we'll get to, we're not up to it yet, but the Rambam, that there's this concept of a kasher shel umnos. So then you could understand, besides time period, so then you could understand why we need a lot of examples, because you have to figure out what is a kasher umnos, what isn't. Certainly if you don't hold like the Shilta Giborim, but even if you hold like the Shilta Giborim, it's like this very hard to define thing. What's a kesher amitz? What's a kesher shalom? So the fact that we have so many examples in the Gemara as opposed to just giving rules is very easy to understand if you learn like the Rambam. If you learn like Rashi, so then it's harder to understand. So if you learn like the Taz, we're going to get to the Taz. I'll say it like this way. If you learn like the Mishnah Berura, I'm getting ahead of myself, that we don't go by the kavana of the person, but rather the type of knot that this usually is. So it also makes sense why we need all these examples, because it's hard to know, is this type of knot the type of, is it a long-term knot, is it a medium-term knot, is it a short-term knot? It doesn't go by the kavana of the kosher, the Mishnah Berurah argues, but rather the type of knot, even Bedas Rashi. So again, I understand why we need so many examples. But if you hold, like the Taz seems to assume, that the definition is by the kosher, right? What did the kosher have in mind? If he had in mind that it would be indefinite, then it's chayev. If he had in mind a certain period of time, then it's also midrabanan, and if you had in mind a shorter than that, it's mutter. So instead of giving, 20 examples of knots, I should just say those rules. It's very simple. Say the rules. Why the need for so many examples? So the whole mahalach of the Gemara actually sounds not like the Taz. So just to summarize, in the next section, whatever we have time to get to today, we're going to really discuss three questions, some of which we've introduced, and we're going to elaborate, and some we haven't introduced. So question number one, we already talked about, which is, what is le'olam mean? What is kesher shel chayama? Here we have a machlokas between Rash, the Taz, and Beis Yosef. Question number two, which we also introduced, is do we look, again, right now we're going to work entirely within Rashi Shita. We'll get to Rambam next time. Question number two is, do we look at the type of knot or the kavan of the kosher? According to the Taz, we look at the kavan of the kosher. And according to the Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halacha, you look at the type of knot. And finally, question number three, which we're going to get to, is when we get to the Rambam. When the Rambam requires a kesher shel uman, we have to figure out, does that mean something that only a skilled craftsman knows how to do? Or does that mean just something that's very strong? And I guess question number four is, according to the Taz, a kesher shel uman is a kesher that's very, very strong. According to Mishnah Berurah, it's not true. Sort of the reverse question, but not exactly. You could have a kesher that is a weak knot. You could even untie it b'achas miyadav, but it could still be considered a kesher shel uman. So the latter two questions are more within the Rambam's view. Okay. So now,
the last question. So this is the fourth question.
Could a loose knot also be a kesher shel uman?
Is it not like this mamash talking in question three? Like, could you have three be
mechalik? For now, we could say that it's a reverse of question three, but not necessarily. Right. In other words, but for now, you could assume that. You have to let's assume that for now. When we get into that, we'll see if there's a reason to be mechalik. Okay, so let's start by discussing the question of the duration of the time. So the Beis Yosef has an arichus on this. The Beis Yosef first starts by quoting Rashi, and he writes, Nerev Medivrei Rashi, Shekasev u'pa'amim l'skayim Shabbos al Chodesh, D'chol she'enu omid l'skayim Yosef mi'chodesh Potter, D'chol she'omid l'skayim Yosef mi'chodesh Chayev. Says the Beis Yosef, since the longest, the shortest period of time that Rashi, or I guess the longest period of time that Rashi includes as an Isser Rabbanan is Chodesh, so then more than a Chodesh is Chayev. And even though the Torah didn't say that, the Torah wasn't talking about the Chiyav Chatas. And we said what the Taz argues with that and what he holds. Beis Yosef then quotes a number of different opinions in the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yerucham, Rabbeinu Peretz, in terms of figuring out the exact shear. Now, what would the shear be to make it mutter then? Right, again, chayev, so we have a machlokas. Beis Yosef says there are more than a month. Taz says indefinite. What about to make it mutter? So, just like it's hard to define the din d'oraisa, it's even harder to define the din d'rabbanan. What's considered a kesher beinoni that's asur midrabbanan according to Rashi? Again, for Rambam, it's much easier. The Rambam doesn't have this kesher beinoni. But for Rashi, that there is this concept of a kesher beinoni, what's the pshat according to Rashi? So here, too, we have the same question. Should we be giving a conceptual definition or a time-based definition, right? For the kesher d'oraisa, we had a machlokas. Taz said conceptual definition, namely indefinite. Beis Yosef gave a time-based definition, namely more than 30 days. What about for the short-term knot that's mutter? Are we going to give a conceptual definition, anything that has no permanence whatsoever is mutter? Or are we going to give a time-based definition, anything less than 7 days, or anything less than a week, 1 day, or anything less than 3 days is mutter? We have that same clair, same chakira. Here, though, the time-based position is easier to accept than it is for the d'oraisa. Because remember, why did the Taz reject the Beis Yosef's Mahalach? He said, Mechateisi, you're making up a shear, right? You're making up a number, 30 days. Who said? If it's d'oraisa, you have to say it somewhere. You have to have a lachonosh misinai or have some type of compelling svara. But when it comes to a din d'rabbanan, so they have to legislate something. And you could say, okay, they made a legislation, the Hamamu Vehamamu, they said 7 days, they said 1 day. It's true, it's like a little arbitrary, it's a little random. But whenever you make a shear, you need to make it a little bit random or arbitrary, right? If you make a speed limit on a side street, it's 25. Why not 24? Why not 20? 6. We know why it's not 50. We know why it's not 10. But why not 24 or 25 or 26? Is 25 really so much better? No, it's arbitrary. They picked it because it's a round number. It's a derivative of 5. So here, too, they said the shear is a week. So to say such a random shear in an Issur Rabbanan is a little less problematic. So to figure this out, let's at least start by looking at some of the rayas, some of the examples in the Gemara. So one of the examples given in the Gemara is the case of the shoes of a Talmud Chacham. That's an example of a kesher that's asur midrabanan. What do I mean to say? A regular person ties and unties his shoes every single day. So that's certainly mutter. They're talking about ritsuos. We talk about shoelaces, but for our purposes, it's probably the same. Here you see, this Gemara reminds me of a very famous story with Rav Simcha Wasserman and Rav Elchanan Wasserman. Rav Elchanan Wasserman once sent his son, Rav Simcha, to buy him a pair of shoes. And Rav Simcha bought him shoes with a shoelace. So Rav Elchanan said, why didn't you buy me loafers? Do you know how much time I'm going to lose, like, tying my shoes, over the course of the shoes might last 2 years? How much time is spent tying your shoes? It's just a mamish bittul Torah. You should get loafers. So Rav Elchanan was just saying this Gemara. The Gemara says that Talmidei Chachamim do not, even if they have shoes with shoelaces, they don't untie their shoes and tie their shoes every day. That's mamish waste of time. They use them like loafers. They use them as slip-ons. So when do they ever untie their shoes? So Rashi sort of has two interpretations. Either they keep their shoes tied like the whole summer, but in the winter when it gets muddy, so then they untie their shoes because of the muddy. Or alternatively, the second Pshat Rashi is that they untie their shoes the whole week. Mamish, they go coast to coast. They sleep in the base medrash. They don't change. They don't take off their shoes the whole week. It's bittul Torah. But Friday night, they take off their shoes. Okay? So let's say like the second explanation. So the second explanation is saying that the shoes of a Talmud Chacham are asur midrabanan because they last for, the knots last for about a week. That's an example that the Gemara says of a kesher that's asur midrabanan. So what does that mean? Again, is it totally in a specific time or is it totally in a conceptual understanding? So it's very telling from Rashi that Rashi like tries so hard to avoid giving a time. He's always giving you a range, 1 week or 2 weeks, 2 weeks or 4 weeks, 1 week or 4 weeks, whatever it is. You sort of get the impression that Rashi's very much trying to avoid giving a specific shear in terms of number of days, but rather give a more conceptual type of definition. Nevertheless, the Beis Yosef, as we already said before, seeks to figure out a practical definition. And one reason is because it's very, very hard to, like, paskin based off of conceptual definitions. They're very, very ambiguous. So what does the Beis Yosef say? So the Beis Yosef says, Bedas Satur and the Sefer Atruma, up to a week is mutter, from a week to a month is aser, more than a month is chayev. Then he quotes Rabbeinu Peretz and later the Kolbo that says, no, it's only mutter, it's asri lahatir b'chol yom, like regular people's shoes. But and up to a week is asri midrabanan, like the Talmud Chacham shoes. And more than a week is an iser d'oraisa. And then he quotes Rabbeinu Yerucham, who has an even funnier shear. Less than 3 days is mutter. From 3 days to a half a year is pater v'laser. More than a half a year is chayiv. And then he quotes later on the Urayim, who says even Shabbos l'Shabbos is mutter, and doesn't tell you when the Shir Drabanan starts. So the most machmir is going to be Rabbeinu Peretz, that anything more than a day is also midrabanan. It's also going to be the Kolbo. Maybe it could be medayik that way also from the Raif in Perek Yud Halacha Gimel. So how do we paskin? How do we paskin on the Shaila? So many different opinions, such confusion. So the Mechaber, it's not really relevant. Why? Because the Mechaber more or less follows the Rambam's view. The Rambam holds that non-permanent knots that are non-kesher shel omen are mutter. So And it becomes asim d'rabbanan if it's either permanent or umman. We'll define what umman is later. But there's no, we're not, it's not, it's less confusing. You don't need to figure out what this middle position is. But the Ramah is machmir both for Shitas Rashi and Shitas Rambam. So you have to figure out, in other words, it's only going to be mutter if it's A, non umman, and B, short term. So we have to figure out what that is. Is it 1 day? Is it 7 days? So the Ramah brings both views, 1 and 7. So which one do we paskin? Like the Taz, the Aruch HaShulchan both say we should be machmir and not make a knot that's going to last more than 1 day. If you look at the Bir Halacha and Sif Dalet, however, he says that really you can be medayik from the Rashba, the Ran, the Ritva, the Makid Mishnah, all and more and others, that they don't follow that Chomer the Kolbo, and Mikaradin, you could be mako up to a week. And it sounds like the Mishnah Berurah himself thinks that it's a Chumrah to be machmir. Mikaradin up to a week is okay, and to be machmir more than a day is a chumrah. It's not so clear to me how the Mishnah Berurah made all those diukim and the other rishonim, but we'll leave that for now. So lahalacha lemaisa, if it's less than a day, you could be meiko. The Mishnah Berurah sifkan vav is an interesting suffix for the to be matir. Does that mean less than 24 hours? So if you were to tie it lel Shabbos and it would be matir it biyom Shabbos, it would be mutter. Or does it mean that same day? So if you go to sleep in the middle, it'd be aser. It sounds like he's no talaka, lakan, lakan, because we've said anyway, this whole thing is that this whole one-day business is a big chumrah. And, you know, we're talking about an isser d'rabbanan anyway. So lemaisa, generally speaking, we're machmir. We try to be machmir for anything more than 24 hours. But in light of what the Mishnah Berurah says, mikaradin, there's room for makel, especially when there's other sniffim, if it's less than a week. Okay, I guess we're out of time. What we need to talk about, we'll start with next time, is what's the halacha if you're misupik. This could be on a deraisa level, like I might leave it for a very long time or I might not, and it's also true on a derabanan level. It might be short term or it might be medium term. We already started discussing that with Yoni, and that's what we'll start with next time. We still have a lot to do. Are you guys finished kosher, or are you still in good shape?
Still tying things together.
Okay.
Aaron and I are about to start tofer.
We're about to finish.
You're about to finish. All right, so I'll start sending you on the kosher.
But Rebbe sort of did tofer already a little. We didn't even start tofer yet, I think, once we go.
Okay, so in the next couple of days, I'll try to send you Makoros on Tofer. I think we'll need at least 2 more shiurim on kosher, though. Okay, Chavra, have a good day.
Can I say one quick thing?
Yes, go ahead, please.
The Yerushalmi does, the Yerushalmi is talking about, I thought everybody says Yerushalmi is talking about Bona.
No, the Yerushalmi says it's Tova. The Urzarua is Medayik.
About the Mishkan, about how long it's for, that it's like the Yerusha Mishkan.
Oh, no, that's to my focus in Yerushalmi. There's 2 deos in Yerushalmi.
Yeah, but I thought Rabbi said it's Bona.
No, 2 different Yerushalmis are quoted. I have nothing to do with it.
Okay.
One Yerushalmi was what Melacha is making a braid.
Right.
And that's where the Urzarua is Medayik, that the battle is against Yerushalmi, because Yerushalmi assumes that it's Aser Alts. That twisting a rope is Aser Alts Tova, and the Bavli must disagree with the Urzarua says, because it says making a braid is Aser Alts Bona. That's one Shaila, has nothing to do with the other Yerushalmi. There's another Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi in Perek Zion Halacha base is about Bona, and the Yerushalmi asks, where was Bona in a Mishkan? And then there's a Machlokes, whether the setting up of the Mishkan would constitute Bona or not.
The Yerushalmi is about kosher.
But the Yerushalmi says what binyan was there in a Mishkan?
Like Makshir Haisib a Mishkan Shir Kukim Haisib a Mishkan. What?
It also has it by Bona, no?
Oh, I don't know, but...
Yeah. Okay. Take a look, you'll see.
Okay.
Or I'll see. I have to look. No. Smicha, guys. Shkayach. And
Hello,
next time.
Daddy?